Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. Richie, a 12-0 episode, something I don't know that I thought we would have this year or really ever when we started this. Again, we started this in 2020, so yeah, I don't know that we'd ever felt like we would do that again. But I believe 12-0 for, is it the fourth time? Is it the sixth time in program history? Something that UF has never done. So shout out to the Noles for a big win yesterday. Let's get right into it, man. What are your immediate thoughts after that win? We'll reminisce a lot, and we'll talk about the Noles going forward, but talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's the sixth time in program history. But what's crazy, you know, we've had some really down years recently. That's our third 12-0 season in the past decade. It's just, yeah. You know, this program is a place you can win at. Miami found that out. Florida found that out. 12-0. I don't care what happens next week or the week after that. Again, that is a hell of a season for Florida State to have. You know, for Mike Norvell to go from, you know, 3-9 in the COVID year to 5-7 to 10-3, now 12-0, New Year's Six Bowl guaranteed. Beat Louisville next week. You know, we'll talk about that line. I think it's 3.5 right now live. Win that game, you're in the playoff. Like, I don't care. Well, we can discuss, you know, scenarios and whatnot. There's just no way you leave Florida State at 13-0 conference champs out of the college football playoff. And again, you know, obviously we're going up to Charlotte. We want to see Florida State win. This season has been a massive success already, regardless of what happens from here. You know, 12-0 just does not happen very often. To your point, TJ, Florida's never had that. They've never experienced that. They don't know what that is. Miami's only done that in the Big East. They don't know what it's like to do it in a big boy conference. This is different levels. And, you know, if you're a Florida State fan my age, you know, I was born in 1988, it's beyond spoiled, even with the down years. And I absolutely love it.
Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee and 2550 North Monroe. There's a new one on Appalachia as well, but I need to learn that address. So I'll start to learn that soon. But anyway, appreciate Guthrie's out of the tailgate yesterday. Had a good time for sure. We're doing a tailgate in Charlotte. Hopefully you guys will come out and hang out with us. It is going to be a little bit smaller. It's going to be, I think we're going to cut it like to like 100 people. So tickets are going to sell out. We're not going to do a bunch of walk-ups. Just it's harder to plan when we're out of town. So make sure that you get your tailgate tickets. The link is in the description. It's 2870 Appalachia Parkway, by the way. And come hang out with us if you're going to Charlotte. Need to get your tickets quickly. Tomorrow's Cyber Monday, so I do have them on discount right now. They're 20% off. Price goes up on Tuesday and through the rest of the week. So make sure that you get your tickets to the tailgate. All right, Richie, started out in this game not so great. I didn't think the Noles were playing well. I didn't think, no shots fired, but I didn't think Mike Norvell was calling a great game early. I didn't like the entire feel, and I think that probably makes sense. You were down 12-0 in a hostile environment and nothing really going your way. Hadn't scored against one of the worst defenses in the college football, in all of college football this year, and you hadn't scored with like 5 minutes to go in the first half. And so I don't know. I mean, I was nervous. I thought it was over. Like I didn't think they were going to come back. I, you know, people are like, oh, you quit or you're a bad fan or whatever. No, I didn't think we were playing well. I didn't think we were calling a good game. I thought Florida was doing what they needed to do. And the offense just looked like it could not get anything done. But big shout out to Billy Napier, who called like a double reverse flea flicker and totally screwed them up and gave us a chance to kind of get the ball back. If they just kind of sit on that ball and get it to the half, they go into the half up 12-0, maybe like 15-0, maybe 19-0 if they spring a big run, which their running backs were running well early in the game. I think they both kind of got banged up. But how nervous were you like 5 minutes to go in the first half?
So I was just talking to Harlan off air a little bit, and, you know, I've never really was like, okay, we're done. We're out of this. You know, I just felt like I've seen this story before with this team. I know this defense is a different defense in the second half, and they just had to do what they've done all year, which is, okay, the run game's not being very successful, but eventually Trey Benson's going to bust one, and he did. And he found the pay dirt three different times, TJ, in the game, and, you know, that was ultimately the difference. And, you know, my favorite stat in the fourth quarter, you know, once they the marching chiefs interrupted Tom Petty, Florida, you know, they say we don't back down. Yeah, they had negative 15 yards after that in the from that point in the game till the end. You know, Adam Fuller's defense just put the clamp on them. Jared Verse made himself a lot of money last night, and I could not be happier for that man. The sack where he just runs the left tackle into Max Brown is all time. That's going to be up on the montages when Florida comes to Tallahassee on the Jumbotron. But yeah, I wasn't overly nervous, but I don't know, man. It just felt weird because the game started so slow. My worries heading in, and we talked about this Wednesday, was, you know, Tate kind of likes to hold on the ball too long. And when that safety happened, you're like, oh boy, it's going to be one of those games. You know, Tate didn't have the greatest game, but he didn't lose the game for you. And that's kind of all you needed. And shout out, total team effort. Again, Jared Verse did everything in his power. Braden Fisk had a phenomenal game. Kalen DeLoach with the game clinching picks, or not pick six, but interception. Just a total team effort. And that's kind of what we knew we needed. And we're going to need it again in Charlotte in 6 days.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was good that we finally did go to some of that pass, you know, some of that just trusting Tate, like the really conservative stuff just was not going to work. And so Norvell going to a little bit more, I guess aggressive is the right word, like a little bit more of an aggressive play call, just scheme, you know, whatever you want to call that, just like mindset, I guess, was big. And getting the, you know, you remember like the 2013 team was so good at the middle eight and, you know, the 4 minutes before half and the 4 minutes after half. And, man, they did a good job there. And that's really what, to me, that's really what won them the game. You know, the defense step, I mean, you could say a lot of things, right? The defense stepping up in the second half, there were a lot of things that were a lot, you know, that you would like in the last 25 minutes of the game. But that middle eight, you know, taking everything they had and really just in two drives, a drive to end the half and a drive to start the next half, going up there, I think at that point when you went up 14-12, like you knew you weren't going to lose. Florida did come back and take the lead quickly. They got up 15-14 on a field goal. Richie, after that field goal, I mean, you mentioned, you know, the total yards that they had after that field goal. I want to say that their yardage totals for the rest of the game, like on their last four drives, were something just absolutely ridiculous. Something like, you know, 2 yards, 7 yards, minus 7 yards, and minus 5 yards, you know, like all three and outs except for the last drive, which was an interception on fourth down to Kalen. And so listen, I think a game where your offense just wasn't very good, you did get to win that middle eight, and you know the defense really stepped up for you. But to have four drives go for negative 3 yards on those last four drives is absolutely ridiculous. Florida, you know, I've seen all the jokes and stuff. Florida not getting another yard after singing Volt Back Down is absolutely hilarious. You know, Adam Fuller's defense was phenomenal through this regular season. And there's a lot of talk about how Florida State would just go get absolutely demolished by anybody else they play. I just don't know that I necessarily buy that. So I got something in my throat. I'm dying over here. I'll let you read the super chat after Harlan plays the noise.
Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown, FSU!
Yeah, we appreciate that. T-Tuck 1345. Knowles outscored the Gators 24-3 after Keandre Jones experienced Lou Holtz splash zone. Stay classy, Gainesville. Go Knowles. That was actually a topic of discussion in one of my group chats this morning, TJ. We kind of think that he just kind of threw up because it didn't look like it was an intentional spit, but certainly the ref saw it that way. But did it look like almost like, you know, it happens all the time on the football field. You don't always catch it. It almost looked like he just threw up, and I'd almost rather get spat on than get vomited on.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if he threw up, I mean, first of all, like if you throw up on somebody like that, to me, that's just as bad. Like, come on, what the heck are you doing, right? Like, but it did. Like, that was a lot of spit to like, you know, Maybe it was throw up, but what are you doing throwing up on somebody, like in somebody's face? Either way, you know. You mentioned Jared Verse, absolutely phenomenal. You know, what's so good about Jared Verse is how they last year he had some hurries and stuff, but like he didn't have the monster game that, you know, a lot of people were expecting. And he wasn't, you know, I'll say elite in the Florida game. And so that was the talk, like, oh, well, he's good, but he can't do it in the biggest moments. And he absolutely did it in the biggest moments last night. Florida State's defense was on another level, you know, again, giving up 13 points, you know, on the night, because obviously the offense gave up the two. That's actually what I had. I had 31-13. I wasn't counting the safety in there and didn't think that was going to be part of what they did. But the defense did about what I expected. Offense maybe underperformed just a little bit, got to 24. I had 31 there. But the team, you know, probably did about what we kind of expected, maybe a little shy on offense. You know, if they play just one more drive in the first half, like they did the entire second half, then yeah, they would have gotten up in the 30s, you know? And so I liked what you saw, but most of all, just the response. You know, I think that, man, there were some moments there where you were just like, man, are they really going to let their rivals, this bad Florida team with a bad defense and a bad coach, are they really going to let them ruin everything that they've done this year? And, man, for a few minutes, like I thought they were. After that safety, man, I did not feel good. But, you know, shout out to Tate, who, you know, very boneheaded played it to give up that safety. Like, there's no way you should lose. I mean, we lost like 20 yards in two plays. That was ridiculous. Came right back out there and went and scored a touchdown after the safety and got Florida State back in it. And when you got that, you kind of felt like, okay, well, at least it's a battle now, right? 12-7. It's a battle. We'll be fine. And then, you know, to open up the second half with that was really special. I thought it was very fitting that Kalen DeLoach was the one to get the game ending interception. Kid that has stuck it out all the way through and, you know, one of the highest character, highest class kids coming through in the Willie Taggart era, playing all the way through all the crap of Norvell and everything else to get that final interception to kind of be the one to put the seal on it was pretty special. I really like Kalen. I love our linebackers, but I thought that was a cool moment for him because, again, he's been here through it all. Seen the lowest valleys and now, you know, up on top of the mountain as a top five team in the country.
Yeah, and I've seen a few comments, guys. If you've been watching the show enough, once a year I have to shave because I have to get a mask fit done. So the beard will be back by Saturday in Charlotte. Do not worry. And certainly by the Sunday show. But yeah, man, Kalen DeLoach, you know, the epitome of a true Seminole. I freaking love that kid. You know, he could have gone to Michigan. He could have been in the playoff last year. Could be, you know, number two in the country right now. And he could have easily transferred, and plenty of schools would have taken him. But he said, no, I'm going to stay in Tallahassee. I'm going to see this through. He believed in Mike Norvell and the vision he had. And now here we are, 12-0, one game away from the college football playoff. This is just, you know, 2013 will always be unmatched, right? Let's just put that aside. But for me as a fan, last year's team was extremely likable. This might be the most likable team I can ever remember, TJ. Just when you realize what the guys like Kalen and Jordan have been through when they came here under Willie and, you know, when we were unsure about Mike Norvell early on, and to now have the sixth undefeated season in Florida State history in the regular season, it's just awesome to see. And they believed in it, and now they are reaping their rewards. And that's just something that is so cool because it's hilarious to me that you have Miami and Florida fans talking about, guys, they gave Mike Norvell time and look what they did. So we just need to give Billy and Mario time. Yes, please do, guys. Please give them more time. But no, man, it's just been a fun, fun season. I think we both had us at 11-1 in the regular season. You know, my upset was against Pitt, and that was way off, but I couldn't be happy to be more wrong. And, man, here we are. I just cannot wait, you know, Thursday morning, getting up bright and early, driving up to Charlotte, North Carolina. And it just feels right. Like, it's you know, the crescendo of Mike Norvell and what he's been doing as far as this climb. And these players deserve it, especially when somebody here a long time. And even the ones that just took a shot with us, like a Jared Burst or, a, you know, Keon Coleman who transferred in.
Eddie, my guy.
Put a smile on your face. Okay? Because Florida State, if we going to do it then, we do it big. Let's go, baby.
Eddie says, we discarded the in-state rivals like a side of coleslaw in a gut box. My man. Appreciate you, Eddie.
On brand. I like it.
Yeah, Florida State has 12 wins this year, Richie, and Miami and Florida combined for 12. And Florida State will have an opportunity to go out and get 13, and then have an opportunity to go out and get, you know, either 14 and 15 or just, you know, 13 again if they're not able to win this weekend. So there's a very real chance that they will end up with more wins than both of your in-state rivals combined. You think about different recruiting tactics and, you know, oh, Mario uses the freshman thing. And I mean, I think Napier and them just, I think their NIL is just healthy. I don't think he's that good of a recruiter, which, you know, shout out to them. I mean, that's great. You know, we've got a good NIL too, but you can use whatever recruiting tactics you want, but to literally say like, hey, we have as many wins or more than both of our in-state rivals who we are recruiting against a ton. I think that's pretty strong. Thorn.
I like that donation. I love it.
24-15. That's perfect. What a game. Anything else is just icing on the cake or on the slate. Gotta love it. Go Noles. Okay, Rich, let's talk about that. I mean, it's not a must win or anything, but I don't know that I'm going all the way that, like, just another way, like, beating Louisville is just icing on the cake. Like, I still think it's really important to go finish this off. Now, whatever happens in the playoff happens in the playoff, and I'm not like, oh, man, you lose to Louisville with a backup quarterback, you know, like I'm off the train or anything like that. But especially with them losing yesterday, Kentucky, the defense being what it is, you know, now this might be another race to 24. You know, I kind of like the defense to hold them under that. But what are your thoughts on, it's not a must win, right? Like, I don't want to say that, but I still think it's really, really important for Florida State to go out and win this game.
I think it goes a long way if you do. And I just think, TJ, how poetic would it be for Tate Rodemaker to go out there and win the ACC championship against Louisville, hand that trophy to Jordan Travis, when last year on the road at Louisville, Rodemaker came in Florida State down 7 and, you know, conducted a comeback win at Louisville. I just think, you know, we're writing a Disney script here, like an old school Disney back when they were good. This is fun stuff. And
don't talk about Disney. My wife wants
this. This is not a must win, but it's a damn sure I would love to win this game type game. Because if they do, you know, again, you're going to the playoff. The committee cannot leave you out. They're not going to jump you with a one loss team. I don't care if you win, you know, 3-2 with a last minute field goal. This is a huge game. Shout out. Someone asked about Jeremiah Smith. He was in the building last night to see Florida State win that game. That's awesome. But yeah, I almost think it might be a must win, TJ, just because you've come this far. To lose on this stage in Charlotte would suck. It would just be, you know, devastating. Sure, you'll still go probably to the Cotton Bowl against Alabama, which would be fun for me and my wife because Louisville would be in the Orange Bowl at that point. But yeah, must win is it. I think it's borderline must win, TJ. Now that I'm thinking about it and talking out loud, I really do, because this just shows, it's confirmation that, listen, we lost our Heisman Trophy candidate and still beat Florida in the swamp in a very hostile environment and then went to Charlotte. And at that point, you're pointing to three top 25 college football playoff wins, none of them at Doak Campbell Stadium.
Yeah, I think that if you... Yeah, I mean, there's just so much riding on it, right? And being able to sell the playoff, being able to sell, you know, the climb being really real and just everything else. Winning without Jordan, you know, winning two games without Jordan Travis. I think your defense might need to carry you again, you know. I think you know, the over-under on this game is 52, so implying a score of like 28-24. I think if Florida State's defense can hold Louisville to 24, I think they've got a good chance to score a little more than that. I think that Florida was doing some things really, really well, and playing in the swamp is tough. And so I do. I think that, you know, if Florida State could get to 24 last night, they can get to 27-30 somewhere in there this weekend and have a chance to win. And so if the defense will hold up and play like it always – or play like it really has this entire year, I think they'll be in a really good spot. I saw the – you know, second half average for this defense, Richie, is 4.8 points a game. That's insane. Like, what even is that? Remember, like, everyone wanted Fuller fired at the beginning of this year before, like, we really started playing and stuff. Like, we're just like, oh, well, you know, we're going to be good, but, you know, Fuller's going to screw us. And it's like, no. Like, the offense has disappointed some games. Like, I'm not trying to.
It was good last year, too, if we're going to have that conversation.
Like, the offense has let me down, I feel like, a few times. Now, I understand Jordan was out yesterday, so I'm not trying to make too big of a deal of that. But, like, 24 points at Pitt, 20, you know, Miami game, didn't play super, you know, 27. So, I think that the defense has been the bright spot, you know, and the offense has been fine. But shout out Adam Fuller. He should absolutely win the Broyles Award for the best assistant in the country. Like, I don't think it's close. What he has done this year has been remarkable. The fact, like, his in-game adjustments are better than I've ever seen. Florida, we had Allie on, you know, on Wednesday to preview the show or the game, and I was talking with her, and she was like, yeah, Florida State adjusted, and Florida couldn't do anything on that off. Like, Max Brown was having some success, and they were running the ball okay in the first half. And the way that he adjusted, I mean, it was unreal. Like, give Adam Fuller, like, all of his flowers, because that was – I mean, a legendary to go into the swamp and hold a team to 0 yards in the fourth quarter is stupid. Like, that's never like I don't history book of every single Florida game ever. I'm promising you that hadn't been done very often. You know what I'm saying? Like, there'll be like one game where Florida, like, just, you know, punted like once in the fourth quarter and didn't have another drive or something. But like in a real game where they got several possessions, that's never happened before. I'm just telling you, find it. If I'm wrong, I'll Venmo you or whatever. But yeah, like I can't say enough about what Fuller and this defense did yesterday.
Shout out Adam Fuller. Shout out this defense. Shout out Akeem Dent, TJ. What a game he had. That defense is the reason we're not sitting on here crying on a live podcast video like some Gators host are doing today. But man, that really was a great performance by the defense in that second half, especially. And it was very reminiscent to the Miami game, where Miami had a lot of success early on, especially running the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, Trevor Etienne said before the game that they were going to, you know, go all out or lights out, whatever it was. Well, 10 carries, 43 yards. You know, he was a non-factor. You know, we keep hearing about how this Ricky Purcell guy is, you know, supposedly better than Keanu Johnny. He was a non-factor. It was just the defense, I think, is part of what makes this season so fun for me. Because even when the offense has struggled, and Jordan was better last year than he was this year, if we're just being honest. But, man, that defense has just been so, so fun to watch. To your point, in the second half of these seasons, you know, going back to game one against LSU, outside of garbage time, they did nothing in the second half. And that's what we've gotten. So that's what gives me hope. Say, you know, we're in Charlotte next weekend. By the way, it might be a little chilly, TJ. I don't know if you've checked the forecast. But say we're down 21-10 or something at the half, I'm going to feel pretty good, because I don't think Louisville's getting to 30, because I think these halftime adjustments are a very real thing. And I do think the offense is going to be better. And now Mike and Alex Atkins, they have another data point in which they can look at from Tate in the offense and say, okay, this is what you did well. This is what you didn't. We're going to even further tailor make this game plan around you and what you can do. We'll talk about it Wednesday. I feel good about Saturday night, TJ. I really do.
Yeah, I kind of like where the spread is too. You know, and I was moaning and whining and complaining and stuff with the game yesterday. But Florida State, I mean, I'm not rich, but I put a decently healthy little wager down when Florida State was losing the game. And that paid off pretty well. And I'm probably going to take the Noles again this weekend at 3.5 points. Hopefully it gets bet down a little more and I can get that hook on so I can get it at 3. But, yeah, I really like – I mean, I like him this weekend too. Yeah, I mean, I think with the defense, I do. I think Tate will play better. I love Trey Benson. So Dalvin did it 1 year. I think 1 year Dalvin had 2 touchdowns. And then in 2016, I think he had 1 or 2. 2014, I don't think he had any. But imagine having three touchdown, like two, three touchdown games as Trey Benson, like against the Gators. Sorry, I'll spit out what I'm trying to say here. Six touchdowns across two games for Trey Benson. That's ridiculous. And, you know, obviously all three touchdowns so different. The one where he just kind of powers in from a yard out, impressive, of course. Just Florida's got some real girth on that defensive line. Girth's a funny word to use there. But the one where he got up on the sideline really kind of changed the game and got Florida State, you know, back to where they needed to be. And then the finisher was phenomenal.
Oh, right? My goodness.
You're just hoping to get that first down and run the clock out. I mean, you know, and that's where my head's at. But then you go up nine and you just start seeing all the Florida fans heading for the exits. And it was beautiful to see. The war chant was super loud. And, Trey Benson, a man among boys yesterday, really, really impressive running the ball. We'll see kind of what things look like, you know, this weekend. But 19 carries, 95 attempts, a three touchdown day. Trey was really special and it would have had even more yards if he didn't try and make like a heroic play to start the game where I think he lost like, you know, first couple of runs, I think he lost like 15 yards or something. So he really should have like, you know, 17 carries for 110 or whatever. But Trey was, he took a play or two to get going, but he was really special last night.
And that's kind of what we've had with Trey this season, right? Like, I think we all thought he'd be potentially like a 1,300 yard back this year. But, you know, he hasn't been, but he's still, every game shows that ability that says, man, that's the guy that we love about Trey Benson. And that last touchdown, you know, I'm sitting on the couch. I didn't even get up and go nuts. I just kind of breathe a sigh of relief. I'm like, man, that's what we have in this team. And that's what I love about this 2023 team so much. You mentioned it earlier. Mike Norvell mentions it all the time. It's the response. This team just responds every chance they get. And that's what we saw again last night. And now, again, we'll see what happens Tuesday night. I do believe Florida State's going to come in at number four. I don't think a one loss team is going to jump us yet. I'm kind of pissed at Louisville for losing Kentucky, but still, if you beat Louisville, I don't see any way Florida State gets left out. And if, you know, things hold as they are right now, that means Florida State's going to end up in New Orleans playing Georgia. That's going to be a fun game. Georgia is the best team in the country by far. Georgia Tech kind of, you know, gave them a scare a little bit. So, again, people are going to talk about Florida State only winning by 11 or by 9, excuse me, against Florida last night. Go look at the scores from Michigan, Georgia, Washington. Washington's done this against several bad, unranked teams. I don't want to hear about it. Florida State wins out. We are in. One game to go.
Yeah, there's no chance that Florida State's getting. I don't care if they win by one, and I don't care that Louisville lost this weekend. You're not leaving a 13-0 Power 5 champion out, especially, you know, a Power 5 champion that went 2-0 against the SEC. And I believe has what three or so ranked wins, with what LSU, Louisville and Clemson is now ranked again
all away from Doak.
Yep. So yeah, Florida State's in with a win. Hey, a bunch of people in here watching right now. Thank you guys for, tuning in live. I know I got you with that thumbnail with Mike on it. So I appreciate you guys for jumping in here. Hit the subscribe button. If you're not already, we certainly would appreciate that. Also, if you're coming to Charlotte, get on the tailgate tickets. We are, yes. It is going to be limited. Like in Orlando, we had like 700 people there and that was great. I can't plan a 700 person party from 9 hours away. It was a little easier with, only being an hour away in Orlando and everything else. So it is going to be limited and we are not going to do walk-ups. So,
I can't read that name, but
throw it up there, Harlan.
Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown,
Yeah, Richie said it good. Say it again, Richie.
Appreciate it, my man.
Rodemaker's only issue in my mind is his decision-making. He makes those throws. But takes the sacks and loses the reads. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a comfortability thing. You know, and you'd hope that he's a little bit better this weekend. You'd also hope that you're playing a little – I mean, you know, Florida State's probably going to outnumber Louisville like 60-40 or 70-30, I would think, in Charlotte. So I think not playing in the swamp, not being a massive rivalry, not you know, not the pressure of your very first start of the year, the pressure of like, I think there's some pressure off. I listened to some other people say this today. I think that if you, I don't want to say like if you lose to Louisville, it's no big deal, but it's a bigger deal if Florida knocks you off than if Louisville does. Yeah. And I think there's some added pressure there. I also think that, you know, there's the unknown of Max Brown that was kind of factoring into some things, not necessarily for Tate, but just for the offense and the team in general. And I think Norvell was very much like, you know, Max is good to start the game. And so I think Florida State wanted to be a little conservative, wanted to not lose the game early. And so, I don't know, I still don't love some of the play calling and some of the decisions by Norvell, but I guess I get it looking back. So talked a little bit about that. Richie, what else we got tonight? Do we have anything else? Maybe a little bit shorter show. Alec, did you see the, I mean, what were your thoughts on the Alabama? Oh, you know what? Before we talk about anything else, I'm literally, as soon as we finish this, I'm going to do a recruiting video. Now I think that this is going to have some pretty bad consequences for Florida on the trail as well. I think we're going head to head with them for a lot of guys, and I'm going to do a recruiting video literally as soon as we get off of here, and that'll come out first thing tomorrow morning. So talk about LJ McCray, Zay Mincy, Jeremiah Smith, talk about Aaron Childs, a linebacker that's committed, and maybe one or two more guys. So make sure that you don't miss that. Hit the subscribe button. So, Richie, Alabama found a way to win against Auburn yesterday. I do think that if they, you know, if they were to, I don't think we get left out, but there are some like weird scenarios where you're like, man, I'd rather Alabama not go in and beat Georgia, and I'd rather Texas not win by 4 million, you know, like to give them something to think about. And I'd probably rather Washington just win and Oregon not be like the champion because they have looked hot. But thoughts on any of that, like a nightmare scenario or the Bama game or whatever?
Yeah, I think, you know, ideally you just want to see chalk play out. Like, okay, you know, granted, if Michigan were to lose either way, that would be awesome. But that's probably not going to happen. You want to see Georgia win. You want to see Washington win. You want to see Florida State win, obviously. That knocks out Bama. That knocks out Oregon. Texas, I just don't see how you can put them in, you know, with Oklahoma not even making it to the conference championship game. Like, you lost to a 10-2 team, and now Oklahoma's good. Let's not pretend like they're not. But I don't know how you would justify that. I just think the nightmare scenario would be, you know, maybe Oregon wins, and then Alabama wins, and then the committee's like, all right, now are we looking at the best teams or the most deserving? Which is crazy to me, TJ, that college football and basketball is the only sport where you get right on the tip of the postseason and then just decide to reevaluate everything. Can you imagine a scenario where the Dolphins, you know, it's week 15 and they clinch the number one seed in the AFC, but Tua goes down with an ACL. And like, oh, actually, Miami, you're out of the playoffs now because I know you won all these games. You deserve to be there. It just doesn't happen in high school that like a All-American quarterback goes out. It's just ridiculous to me. You know, don't let a group of, you know, old dudes in a room decide the fate of this Florida State team. Let our play on the field decide it. And I think that is what's going to happen. But we have to beat Louisville first.
Yeah, I was asked about it yesterday. I did an interview, and it's a shame for our sport if that's what happens, right? If a 13-0 team gets left out because a guy got hurt, especially a 13-0 team that like the defense is one of the best in the country, and
yeah,
13-0 team that the running back is one of the best in the country, and a 13-0 team that the wide receivers are some of the best in the country and everything else. So you're going to penalize 84 guys because one guy got hurt. And I understand that Jordan's the most important. Take any quarter, like, whatever somebody's odds are to win a national championship right now, take away any of their starting quarterbacks. Like, take away Nix, take away Penix, take away Carson Beck, take away, you know, Milroe, like, any of them. Take away their quarterback. And their odds drop just like ours do, right? Like, that's, you know, I mean, Jordan is very important. But the idea that you could win all of your games and get left out is absolutely insane. It would be
asinine
for our sport. It would be bad for the sport, in my opinion. And so I don't think it happens. Like, I mean, first of all, I think we win.
I don't either.
Yeah. And I also don't think that they would leave us out, even, you know, no matter what. Like, even with some of those nightmare scenarios or Bama winning this, Bama, 13-0, we're in. Now, I do think this is important. And again, I expect to be fourth when the rankings drop on
Tuesday.
What I think is probably good for us is, you know, like the, you know, I mean, Texas is not playing like some incredible team. You know, they're going to play Oklahoma State, correct? I think they'll be ranked similarly to where Louisville is right now. I think that, you know, I don't think that they're going to just like all of a sudden like vault up or anything. Now, if Florida State was still fifth in this week's college football playoff rankings, which I don't expect, I expect them to be fourth. But if there was any way that they were like still fifth, that would worry me.
Yes.
Like, say you need to,
that'd be problematic.
Yeah. You would need, now, unless like somehow Ohio State was like ahead of you, because then you could jump ahead with like a win against Louisville. But like if you're fifth, like you're probably going to need some help that final weekend. And so we'll see. But I don't expect that. I expect to be fourth on Tuesday night and kind of go from there. Hey, Richie, I want to say this too. Florida made some, and they're just such a dumpster fire, and I think their recruiting is going to suffer, and that'll be great to see as well. You know, money only goes so far when, you know, you have a horrible coach, that's leading you, but, I thought Florida State did a good job of not like getting into it.
Yes.
You know, like if I'm a Keane Dent, like I am getting in another, like, especially because it's like so close to the goal line. Like I've always thought like the best place for a unsportsmanlike conduct is like when you're inside the 10, cause you, like, you just get more for your money's worth. Like it's not a 15 yard penalty. It's like a 4 yard penalty. So I'm not advocating for him to have done that, but I also think, you know, if I'm him, I'm going off on that personal foul. He did a good job of that. Now Mike Norvell did. But I also think we did a good job of not retaliating when we got spit on or thrown up on or whatever the other, you know, whatever kind of bodily fluid was hitting people. And then I thought we did a good job of, you know, not, now I would have been fine with people defending Tate after getting late hit, but I'm glad that we didn't respond there either and react there negatively. And so I thought Florida State did a really good job of keeping their head in it. And Florida obviously didn't. And that's a sign of culture, and that's a sign of poor coaching. That's a sign of lack of discipline. That's a sign of, like, Billy Napier not following the process or, you know, whatever bullcrap like he's spewing that week. But, yeah, I thought that was really big. Is if Florida State – I meant to mention that when we were talking about the game. But Florida State could have certainly, you know, had a few kind of reactionary moments, and they really didn't. They kept their head in it. They played clean. I mean, they did some dumb things. I mean, you know, without a doubt, like, you know, getting the, you know, the safety was dumb. There were some other things, but I thought they did a really good job with that because they could have lost their cool a couple of times like UF did.
Two things really stand out to me. One, you see the clip of Trey Wilson just smacking his assistant coach off of another him and one, running on the field. Like that's, you talk about culture. That's what that is. And after the game, you know, Jared Verse and Braden Fiss had an interview, and Jared even mentioned as much. He's like, yeah, he's like, listen, the fact that they decided to put hands on me showed I can get in your head. And he was laughing the whole time talking about this, saying, you know, like, I'm in your head and we're not going to take those 15 yards. We're going to get the 15 yards. And that's just where the mentality is. Cause Trey or not Trey, Jared mentioned, he's like, you know I like to talk a lot. He's like, that's what I do. But if I get you to the point where you feel the need to put hands on me outside of the game, I've already won at that point because I'm not going to retaliate. Mm-hmm. And that's his mentality. And that's what this team's mentality really is. And I don't know if you saw, even Jordan Travis quote tweeted something today saying something to the effect of, you know, that's what our team is. We're going to take the free 15 yards and kind of laugh at you guys for acting out. And that was not the case with this team, you know, the tail end of Jimbo's year and during the Willie Taggart era. But now that, you know, it goes back to last week's cinematic recap, TJ, when after Brock scores that touchdown, Mike Norvell pulls him aside. He's like, did you hand the ball to the ref? And Brock says, yes, sir, I handed it to the ref. Like it's little things like that. And people can make fun of it all they want. I don't care. That's truly where this team is. And I love the mentality of this team. The challenge is, how long can you keep that going? Because Jimbo had that type of mentality for a time at Florida State. I think Mike is the guy that can keep it going, though, and I'm excited to see if that does happen.
Let's talk about that and then anything else you kind of want, and we'll go from there. But Florida State right now, like Mike Norvell, I tweeted this too, so I'll try and get your thoughts. But Florida State, Mike Norvell just coached the 20th ranked, as far as talent goes, roster to a 12-0 season. What's it going to look like when he's stacking back-to-back like top five classes? Like, they're going to finish with a top five class this year. It'd be pretty shocking if they didn't. I think they could, honestly, if a thing or two broke right for them, they could probably finish at like two or three, currently at three right now. And then 2025, they've got a lot going right for them in 2025 as well. And so if you can take the number, you know, the 20th most talented team, I mean, they're going to jump up from that. You know, they're going to be like top, I don't know, probably 15-ish or so next year, maybe a little higher. But if they do that, right, and then, you know, the year after that, they're like top 10-ish, how good can this thing really look when Mike's recruiting at that level and you're not playing with, you know, the top 20 ranked roster, you're playing with a top 10 or 5 or even better roster at that point?
Yeah, I think you're looking at a playoff team 3 out of every 4 years, especially with the 12-team playoff. I think every recruit that Mike Norvell brings here that sees his time out at least 3 years in Tallahassee is going to play in the college football playoff. That's where Mike Norvell is. And for what he did it this year, and to be fair, you know, I know that the 247 talent composite has us at number 20. I don't know how much they count for like a Jared Verse or a Trey Benson or a Jordan Travis who transferred in. I think this is probably more a top 13, 14 most talented team in the country, but still certainly not a top 4 talented team in the country where they're going to be at the end of the season if they beat Louisville. That's a big deal. That's the one thing we all said when Mike Norvell came to Florida State is like he needs to have something to sell these kids. Well, he had that last year and had it again this year. If he starts stacking top 5 classes, he's not going to be here for 34 years like Bobby was. That would be awesome. But man, he's going to do a lot of damage and make a lot of college football playoff appearances. And TJ, I cannot wait for that first home playoff game at Doak. That is going to be fun.
Yeah. No. Oh, shoot. I even forgot about that. Yeah. If, like I said, making the playoff 3 out of every 4 years, like that will be the expectation. Like that's what needs to happen, especially with the 12 teams playoff. You know, like essentially you need to go 9-3 to 10-2 every year. Yeah. And, you know, 9-3 will get you in some years. It wouldn't get you in on a year like this where there's more chalk that's happened, but it would have gotten you really close last year. I think last year at Florida State, like in the 12 team playoff, I think they finished 13th. I actually think they would have finished like 12th, but due to some of the automatic like tie-ins and stuff,
yeah,
they I think Tulane would have jumped them and it would have knocked them out, which is fine, right? But 9-3 can get you there some years. If Florida State would have started the year ranked and finished 9-3, they would have done it. I think not to get so far ahead of yourself, not to talk about, you know, things that are happening 2, 3, 4 years down the road, but because I really just want to win this weekend. But what Norvell is potentially building here is pretty special. And I think that's exciting. So, hey, there's a lot of good stuff coming. We are going to do, you know, some talk on the ACC championship, of course, this week. We'll preview that on Wednesday like we've done all year. Hopefully we have two more previews after that. But we'll preview that on Wednesday. Again, some recruiting news that we'll talk about a little bit as it relates to the Florida Gators tomorrow. In fact, again, I'm going to work on that as soon as we wrap up here tonight. So make sure that you're logged in. There's going to be a ton of stuff coming with the portal. I see people talking about portal QBs. I see people talking about where we need to go, offensive line here, there, and wherever with the portal. That stuff is going to be insane. It's all about to get started once December rolls around here. So make sure that you are locked in and subscribed with the channel. Great numbers tonight, well over 500. That's really good for us. You know, not our highest ever. You know, our highest ever, Richie, was when I just live streamed the Board of Trustees meeting. That was hilarious. We had like nearly 1,000. But the season, you know, regular season's over, so we might get some conference realignment news coming soon too. So make sure that you're locked in with the channel. Again, if you're going to be in Charlotte, come hang out with us. But man, Richie, last night was a great feeling. It was awesome to walk out of that stadium at 12-0 and realize what you know you had what you accomplished, which is something that very few people thought you would be able to do. Even you and I, you know, thought that it would be kind of 11-1 And I think in the back of our minds, we're thinking like, okay, but don't do 10-2, right? Like, don't, you know, just 11-1 would be great. But, man, I thought it was really, really special walking out of that stadium and being 12-0, beating both your rivals. You're 2-0 against Billy Napier. You know, Tate Rodemaker gets a win in his first start, you know, in years. And I thought that was, I thought it was really cool. So, Richie, shout outs, anything you've got on your mind?
Yeah, shout out all the Miami fans who were Gator fans this week. Shout out all the Gator fans who were talking all that crap all week. Y'all go touch some grass. Have a good night.
Cheered their little hearts out. So appreciate you guys for that. You know, you guys worked hard on the cheering. It is funny to watch the rivals. You know, they'll do anything they can to see Florida State lose. And
oh, again, and let me finish my fried Gator here.
My man. So, all right, cool. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. Love you guys. Make sure that you're subscribed. We'll talk to you soon. Go Noles.